Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
This week, and every week, we'll start the show with a tip of the week. Then we'll get into our low-tech section. This week we'll be talking about various sources for local training. Then our focus item will have to do with computer accessibility and how to access a computer. In this case, we'll be talking about free screen readers as opposed to some of the commercial ones we talked about a few weeks ago. And finish up with our high-tech item, which will be about optical character recognition. So this week's tip of the week is, if you enjoy discussing what you've read, however you read it, you can join a book group at your local public library. And I think pretty much every public library has these book groups that are available to the public. Some of them are, you know, actual book groups that they host right there at the library. The other service that our public libraries provide is book group kits. So you can go into the library and they'll have a whole rack full of these things. You get a little cloth bag, probably says the name of the library on it. Inside are 8 copies of the same book and discussion notes right in the bag. Now, you might wonder why we're talking about that if we're talking to an audience that can't read regular print. Well, guess what? At the public library in different sections, you know, if you have a book group where maybe some of your friends can read regular print, you can get one of those bags and then go to the other section of the library and pick up the same book in large print or the same book in audio format or whatever. We're both in book groups. We enjoy those a lot. For our personal book groups, we're in one together. For that book group, we always make sure to pick books that Pete can get in some format that he can read, which doesn't include regular print. So if the group starts going about picking the next book, we'll go through and we'll say, well, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? We'll get all these candidate books. And then everybody else says, okay, Pete, you go home. And you look for the books, and if you can't find one, we'll just take that off the list of candidates. So can you talk about some of the sources you use for acquiring books?
Yes. What I normally do is go through the different resources where I get books and check out these books. So the first one I'll go to is Bookshare, which we've talked about in previous weeks. You can go to www.bookshare.com. and get an account there if you're print impaired. And these are books that are all in text format that have been scanned in or electronically routed to their computer, and you can download them automatically. They have very recent books, New York Times bestsellers they're doing, and lots of material is there. More preferably, I like some of the NLS books, the National Library Service, which we've also talked about in the past.
And that's run by the Library of Congress.
Right. These are all available as audio books, and they will either send you cartridges with the audio books on them that you can play on your specially equipped NLS player, or you can download these directly from the web, get them very quickly that way, and download them and read them on your own preferred portable reading device. For more technical books, I tend to go to RFB&D, Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic. They have audio books that they can also get to you either in the mail on CD or you can download from their website. And then also there's things like audible.com. Those are paid services, of course. You can go there. And you can also get downloads of MP3 and WMA audiobooks from your public library if you sign up. So there's lots of resources.
In fact, I just recently discovered that if you're a resident of anywhere in the state of New York, you're eligible to get yourself a library card to the New York City Public Library. Now, much as I love living in Rochester, let me tell you, they've got a lot more books in print and in audio at the New York City Public Library than they do in the Monroe County Library System up here in Rochester, New York. So that was fabulous discovering that. And I've been downloading a lot of books from them now. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about how to get training to use various types of adaptive equipment. Now, every week we talk about all of this stuff for the visually impaired, the print impaired. Every few weeks we'll talk about a different kind of thing you can use for accessing your computer or whatever, certain book players. But, you know, if you want personalized training or more specific training or just someone you can ask questions of back and forth, there are a number of places where you can find somebody or an organization to provide training to you. One interesting place we discovered is the Access Technology Institute. Their website is www.blindtraining.com. That's all one word, blind training. Now, what they do is they provide trainer certification. So they train the trainers. Now, if you're not interested in being a trainer, why would you be interested in this organization? Well, they also maintain a list of at least 50 certified trainers across the United States, and they're listed by region, and so you can pretty easily go through their website and find a trainer to help you with your particular issues, whatever you want help learning. Some examples of various topics that they maintain. They actually have some free training available online or in print or as an MP3 audio file. For example, talking about changing the styles of Word 2007, using the ribbons in Office 2007, downloading documents and extracting zip files, or running Windows XP. And there are many, many other topics that you can get information about from these people. Now, the other thing they do is they train trainers. And how I found out about them was by looking at the website of a trainer that we're fortunate to have in the Rochester, New York area named Ann Parsons. Her website is portaltutoring.info. Of course, that's all one word, PORTALTUTORING. And, you know, if you're in Rochester, that's great. Maybe you can hook up with Ann, although she does do some remote training of people outside the area, or maybe through her network of colleagues and friends, she can hook you up with somebody else who's better suited to your particular situation. And these trainers, you know, Anne among them, are available to give you training on working with adapted computers, adaptive software, learning Braille, working with special equipment such as the Braille Note, the PacMate, these digital book players. You got one from the Library of Congress. You don't have anybody handy to show you how to work it. Call up one of these trainers. They're great. They can help you with that. And in addition, even with any other kind of academic help you might need, maybe your writing skills or help with other school courses, doing some just kind of generic tutoring.
You know, if you have trouble finding some people in your area, sometimes the state social services departments can recommend either programs that are made for certain kinds of training or individuals. For instance, when I was starting graduate school, I had recently become totally blind. And although I learned Braille as a child, I didn't know a lot of those skills. I had never used a cane. And we had a special program on Long Island run by the Industrial Home for the Blind. It was a 6-week program that was basically training for life skills. That's where I learned my cane lessons. I did a refresher in Braille mathematics and several other things that I needed to use before I went to graduate school.
So another place you can go is you may have some sort of association for the blind in your area. The association here is called the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired -Goodwill, because they've hooked up together. So ABVI-Goodwill, and not surprisingly, their website is www.abvi-goodwill.com. Their phone number is area code 585-232-1111. Makes that nice and easy. They do a lot of vision rehabilitation training, where they'll give you individualized or group instructions on certain things such as meal preparation, communication skills, financial skills, self-care activities, medication management, home management skills, kind of anything you might need for daily living. They do orientation and mobility training. Maybe your vision's deteriorated enough, so now you want to start using a cane. Well, that's not as easy as it looks. I mean, took you weeks to learn how to use a cane, right?
Oh, yeah. A little experience there. The other place, with the advent of the internet and how useful that is these days, you can often find training opportunities on the internet where people can do certain things for you remotely. For example, I subscribe to several distribution lists, DLs, for those that are more technically savvy, about music and blind programming lists and things like that. And often there are people on there advertising their services for a very modest fee per hour to help you get going with your musical equipment, advise you, or to help you with other programming-related issues and stuff like that. Also, being members of these DLs is also a lot of informal training. So, for example, you can ask some questions and get them answered directly in an email. If you need more extensive help, then you might want to retain the services of one of these people that offer such training.
You are listening to Viewpoint, 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 Viewpoint.
This week's focus topic is on computer access, and we'll be talking about free screen readers, in particular two of them called System Access to Go and NVDA. That's all initials, NVDA.
Non-visual desktop access.
Oh, I knew it stood for something.
There it is.
Specialized access technology can often be quite expensive, but fortunately there are also inexpensive or free alternatives. Depending on your needs, and of course your budget, you might find some of these alternatives attractive. Maybe you even have the expensive commercial system, but you find yourself at a friend's house or out of town or at a public library using someone else's computer where the commercial product hasn't been installed. Well, you can still use one of these free alternatives. Although they may not have all the bells and whistles of some of the other more sophisticated commercial screen reading packages such as JAWS or WindowEyes, they might be right for your needs or your situation of the moment. To be fair, screen readers such as JAWS and WindowEyes are better integrated with other access technologies such as text magnification programs, Braille displays, etc. They also come with excellent technical support staff and facilities. Thus, for professional use, we would recommend using one of these. But if your requirements are less demanding or you just want to try out a screen reader, let's see what some of these free screen readers offer. The first one we'll be talking about is Systems Access to Go, often referred to as SA to Go. It's the American Foundation for the Blind award-winning web-based version of Cerotech's DaVinci award-winning System Access software. It's a complete digital content accessibility tool that functions just like a screen reader. To use it, you would go open the Run dialog on any Windows computer by holding down the Start menu key and then tapping the letter R on the keyboard. After you release the keys, wait about 2 seconds and type in www.satogo.com and follow the audio instructions. Now, of course, I tried this on my computer, and I prefer using Chrome. And I discovered in short order, because it put it right up on my browser window. If you use any browser beside Internet Explorer, you will need sighted help to get started. So let that be a warning. If you want it to work for you first time, do it in Internet Explorer. So let's run through a quick demo of SA to Go.
Well, sure. As Nancy mentioned, SA to Go is a free screen reader, and as the saying also goes, you often get what you pay for. But in this case, you can get quite a bit for these things. You do give up some functionality. One of the strengths of SA to Go is, again, as Nancy pointed out, but I'd like to reinforce, is that this can be run from any computer. So if you're traveling, you don't happen to have your talking program on your computer, you just need any computer connected to the internet, and you can quickly get going with SA to Go. Of course, like most of these internet services that are free, they hook you because there are more paid services. So, for instance, if you don't like the voices that you get with the default SA to Go, you can pay for more quality voices or different voices. There are also other services offered through Cerotech to Go that integrate pretty well with SA to Go. Anyway, we thought we'd give a demo now of how it works. So I'll start out by connecting to SA to Go.
Welcome to System Access to Go, a product of Serotech Corporation, www.serotech.com. Please press enter to begin or press F8 to hear a quick tutorial.
And who's our friendly speech synthesized voice this time?
That sounds like the eloquence voice that comes with JAWS and Window Eyes and is the default voice for many of these things.
Doesn't he have a name?
This one does not have a name. It's Eloquence. It came from an IBM text-to-speech synthesizer. But anyway, the way we got into that was I just walked up to a computer, as Nancy indicated, brought up the Run menu by hitting Windows key and R together and typing in www.satogo.com and then hit Enter, and automatically the screen started speaking, which gives you help to get going with the screen reader. Okay, next we're going to go through the process of signing up. You can sign up for an account with SA2Go and their screen reader. And if you sign up for an account, you can save all of your settings in terms of the speech rate and the pitch and how you like things spoken. If you don't sign up for an account, you can still use the service, but then each time you log in and start using the service, you need to reset these parameters if you don't like the default. So let's go through the sign-up process and see what it's like.
Getting started. Before we can do anything, we must install System Access and the System Access mobile network onto your computer. How do we do this? Serotech has made it as easy as we can while ensuring that everyone has the latest version. There is absolutely no speech on the computer as we speak. If you have an existing screen reader, you may be able to run it for a while until you get to the website and then close it down. Otherwise, if you're a fairly proficient typist or have someone to assist you, you can do the following without having any speech on your computer. First, press the Start key. It is the second key to the left of the space bar. So hold down the Start key in conjunction with the letter R, as in Run. Release and type www.satogo.com and press Enter.
Welcome to System Access to Go. Please press Enter to begin.
I will now press Enter.
Please press Alt plus R to continue.
So that again means hold down the Alt key and press the letter R and release both.
Please press Alt plus R again to continue.
So please note it is asking you for a second time to repeat this key sequence. This is a Run command in Windows. So again, I will press Alt, the letter R, and release both keys.
System Access to Go. Login. Press Alt H for help. If you have an account with the System Access mobile network, please enter your account number and PIN to log in. Otherwise, you may press the Create an Account button to register. Logging in is optional, but we strongly recommend that you log in so you can fully take advantage of SA2Go's features. Account number, editable text, blank.
So if you have an account, you enter your account number, which is generally your 10-digit phone number, tab once and type in your password.
PIN, password field.
And tab once.
Login button.
If you do not have an account yet, continue to tab.
Create a free account to save settings. Button.
And press Enter.
System Access to Go, register. First name, editable text.
And so that was the first part of the sign-in process for SA2Go, and all that you'll get to hear if you hit the F8 button if you need help. Now, if you actually want to do the login, here's what happens.
System Access to Go. Login. Press Alt H for help.
Enter your username. Again, usually your 10-digit phone number.
812.
Tab once to enter your password. Tab once.
Login button.
And again, press Enter or spacebar.
You're logged on. Please wait. SA Mobile Desktop. List. SA Mobile Network Home.
I know that's a little fast, but I did it to illustrate the point that once you log into your account, it automatically loads your voice, your pitch, and your speed or rate. This is very powerful to make sure all your machines talk and sound the way you want. At this point, not only have you launched System Access Screen Reader, but you also have the SA Mobile Desktop. It contains
SA Mobile Network Home, email, my media library, notes, my files, active downloads, socializer, bookmarks, help, install System Access on this computer. Search, 11 of 11, install System Access on this computer, 10 of 11.
Press Enter on this option.
Install System Access. Adjust the following settings if needed, then press the button below to continue. Checkbox, checked. Start System Access after I have logged onto Windows.
The first option if left checked, will start system access as soon as you log on to Windows. If for some reason you prefer another screen reader, then uncheck this box. Otherwise, leave it checked. Tab once.
Run system access on the Windows login screen. Checkbox. Checked.
You are on the install button, again where you can press either the space bar or the enter button.
Please wait. This will take a few seconds.
Now system access is installing onto your computer. If you have purchased other voices, they will also be installed, although it may take a few minutes for them to download and install because of their size.
Done. System access is now ready to use on this computer.
And so that shows the complete process of logging on to system access, setting up for the first time. And now let's hear about some of the other voices.
I will in the future use the default voice of DeckTalk and slow it down for your convenience. But you may use a variety of different voices, including the purchase of NeoSpeech voices, Paul and Kate, and possibly others in the future, or Sappy 5 voices, the Microsoft Sam, Mike, or Mary, or other voices you may have acquired from other sources, or even the Sappy 4 voices, including the IBM Via voice, better known to some as Eloquence.
So as you can see, there are lots of choices here. And again, although the main product is free, some of the extra bells and whistles and options you get to pay for. Also, if you pay for SA2Go, you can run it on your computer without connecting to the web. And now we can talk about one of the other alternatives, NVDA.
NVDA, as Pete mentioned earlier, stands for Non-Visual Desktop Access. And you can get much more information about this by going to their website, which is nvda-project.org. From their website, this is how they describe themselves. Non-Visual Desktop Access, or NVDA, is a free and open source screen reader for the Microsoft Windows operating system. Providing feedback via synthetic speech and Braille, it enables blind or vision-impaired people to access computers running Windows for no more cost than a sighted person. And that's part of their mission, is to enable blind people to have equal access for the same cost as sighted people. Major features include support for over 20 different languages and the ability to run it entirely from a USB drive without having to install it first. It's got many similar features to SA2Go. And Pete, can you tell us some more about it and maybe show some of its features and capabilities?
Yes, this screen reader has come a long way in the past couple of years. This is an open source project that is started out by volunteers. In fact, you can, if you're a good programmer, you can help to develop the program if you like. But anyway, one of the main strengths of this is, besides being free, is that, as Nancy said, you can install it onto a thumb drive and then take this thumb drive to run NVDA on any computer that you want, or as many computers as you want. But again, being free, there are some limitations. So one of the things you'll notice as we demonstrate NVDA is that the voices aren't the best quality in the world that come for free, although you can purchase other voices and hook them into NVDA. So let's hear what it sounds like when I start NVDA.
Welcome to NVDA dialog. Welcome to NVDA. Most commands for controlling NVDA require you to hold down the NVDA key while pressing other keys. By default, the numpad insert and main insert keys may both be used as the NVDA key. You can also configure NVDA to use the caps lock as the NVDA key. Press NVDA plus N at any time to activate the NVDA menu. From this menu, you can configure NVDA, get help, and access other NVDA functions.
That is the default voice of NVDA, and you can—it's pretty computerized. It takes a little getting used to, but you can get used to it. Here is one of the more human-like voices, although again, it's pretty computerized, but it's another option.
Welcome to NVDA dialogue. Welcome to NVDA. Most commands for controlling NVDA require you to hold down the NVDA key while pressing other keys. By default, the numpad insert and main insert keys may both be used as the NVDA key. You can also configure NVDA to use the caps lock as the NVDA key. Press NVDA plus N at any time to activate the NVDA menu. From this menu, you can configure NVDA, get help, and access other NVDA functions. Exit NVDA dialog. Are you sure you want to quit NVDA? Yes button Alt plus Y.
So she never figured out that NVDA was an acronym and a bunch of initials. She kept trying to pronounce it, NVDA.
Right, she was trying to read it. If you're interested in that voice, that is called the PICO, P-I-C-O voice, that can also be downloaded from the NVDA site along with NVDA itself for both the portable and desktop versions.
Just remember, it's free, so that's a benefit. Now for this week's high-tech item, optical character recognition, often referred to by its initials, OCR. Well, what is this and why would you care about it? Well, optical character recognition is the mechanical or electronic translation of scanned images of handwritten, typewritten, or printed text into machine-encoded text. It is widely used to convert books and documents into electronic files, to computerize a record-keeping system in an office, or to publish text on a website. OCR makes it possible to edit the text, search the text for a word or phrase, store it more compactly, display or print a copy free of scanning artifacts, and to apply techniques such as machine translation, text-to-speech, and text mining to it. OCR is a field of research in pattern recognition, artificial intelligence, and computer vision. And boy, has it come a long way since people started working on it a couple of decades ago. Now, of course, what makes it more relevant to this show is the fact that, you know, if somebody hands you something in print and you can't see well enough to read it, if you can scan in the document or book or menu or whatever it is that someone's just handed to you and get the computer to recognize the text and either read it to you or just put it into some other format that you can read, well, that's a wonderful thing.
Right. Most printers these days are actually multifunction machines that come with a scanner built in. And as a matter of fact, in the past, you had to buy separate OCR software to use on your computer to process a scanned-in document. These days, most of the printer's multifunction machines come with their own OCR programs built in. So you can literally scan something right into a Word document or a text document and then be able to read it in text on your computer or blow up the print to some kind of size that makes it more comfortable for you.
So you've probably got this capability without even knowing that you've got it and without having to start some special program or whatever.
Right.
It's just something you can make use of and make use of other people making use of it.
There are also, we've talked in the past about some standalone OCR systems that you can purchase if you look around that are just dedicated to OCR and they do that job quite well and then will read things back to you. So there are many options.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, our theme will be music, and we had a lot of fun putting this one together. We'll be talking about playing a musical instrument with a visual impairment, reading and learning music, Band in a Box, which is a powerful program for creating and arranging music, and then some mechanisms for playing music directly from your computer instead of from your radio or your turntable or CD player or whatever. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.